Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening. Welcome to the Inspirational Talk Show Radio Network. Tonight we are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday night party. If you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, please join us. Now, as we always do when we start the Thursday night party, Helping Hands Press likes to have a opening prayer. This is sent in from Patty J. Smith. And as it is still June, if you're wearing purple, this has to do with Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. So let's start it off with a prayer from Patty J. Smith. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Most loving Father, we come to you as family, friends, and caregivers of those suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. Bless us with an abundance of compassion and guide us in our words and actions to protect our loved ones' dignity. When discouragement, fear, and anxiety surface, give us the resolve to stand with you as the earthbound source of comfort to those suffering. Divine Caregiver, walk with us through this journey, and always, we ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Patty, for that. We really appreciate it. And welcome, everybody, to Helping Hands Press Thursday night Facebook party, Twitter party. Larry Peterson will be joining us later in the broadcast. He's going to come in for those of you who have clicked on a blog post. He's going to be coming in about 15 to 20 minutes after the hour. Now, we'll be going from 8 to 9. We have a pretty big agenda this evening. We just read the opening prayer by Patty J. Smith. The next post coming up on Facebook is going to be about Joy Ross Davis. She was our guest the other day here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. And Joy had it was a very nice conversation with Joy. She talked about her trip to Ireland. She's going to be speaking at a conference coming up. There'll be a blog post on that on the Helping Hands Press blog pretty soon. And also we're talking about some of her titles, in particular, Mother, Can You Hear Me? Among others, that's her nonfiction work, and that does have to do with Alzheimer's. That has to do with her journey with her mother. It's a nonfiction piece. After that, we have a reading sample from Flora Regatta. Helping Hands Press had their Thursday night party. There was a cover comparison for Flora for her Love and Obsession novel coming up. That's the second in her series. That'll be coming up a little later on. However, July 4th is just around the corner, and there's a few titles to be talking about that. Murray Pure is part of the Declaration of Independence series. This is John Hancock. He started it off. If you love history, you love suspense, intrigue, thriller, this is a fantastic historical story. It's a short story. It's 99 cents. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. That's Murray Pure. Joseph Max Lewis also has a story in that series, and that'll be highlighted on Facebook and Twitter and the other places, as well as the Helping Hands Press blog in the next day or so. We have a new cover comparison tonight. William David Spencer, he has a young adult inspirational story that he's writing called Wrestling Two Worlds. It has to do with wrestling, not WWE wrestling, but scholastic wrestling. That's a little bit of a different thing, but it's a really nice story. Dr. Spencer was actually a wrestler, and his son is a well-decorated wrestler. If you read his bio on the blog post, you'll see that. And also, Dr. Spencer, besides being a college professor, is a minister, and he has been to the Dominican Republic. His wife is from the Dominican Republic. I have interviewed him before. He's very dynamic. Hopefully, he'll be on the show again. 8:25. There will be a post up for Larry Peterson. We'll be talking about the Demons of Abaddon and the Priest and the Peaches with Larry. There's a reading sample tonight for Patty J. Smith with her Grave Obsession Series 2. The title of the first story is called Precious Garden. And then we have Ambassador Campbell. We were talking about July 4th. She has her Once Upon series. And most of those stories, just about everyone, revolves around a holiday. Volume 3 of that series, Once Upon Volume 3, is called A Parade of Freedom. So that has a lot to do with July 4th. And then let's see what we have here. New giveaway. We'll feature Joseph Max Lewis's The Diaries of Pontius Pilate. Now, we will be announcing the winners of the previous giveaway, which was Ambassador Campbell's Truth Trilogy. And keeping in with the theme of Alzheimer's Brain Awareness Month, we're going to be talking about Sheila Seidel at her grand's Remembering for Ruth. She has that series, a short story series. You can also purchase the purchase it in a full-length novel. It is has a very nice subtone of Alzheimer's. Ruth has Alzheimer's. And it's a very nice story, very heartfelt. There's actually on the Helping Hands Press blog, there's two blog posts, one by Sheila, and the other blog post has to do with the story itself. There's a reading sample for you there as well. As we wind down the evening, Sue Badeau, there is a blog post up for her that she wrote about how her book was illustrated by her daughter and other family members, which I think is pretty cool. Sue is actually away right now talking about her book. I'm not really sure where. If you go to Sue Badeau, BADEAU.com, you can see exactly where in the world Sue is. At 8:55, we have a blog post by Karen Lang. She is the author of Right for Life and Homeschool Co-ops 101. Really cool. And then we finish out the evening. That's what we have going. Trying to get to the HHP blog here. And excuse me for, oh my heavens, I just lost everything. Okay. Computer issues this evening. Okay, if you're on the Helping Hands Press blog, you can see there's a few different things here. One, on the sidebar, you can see the widgets. Don't know what happened there. I have to apologize. There are widgets on the sidebar. There's two up right now. One is for Joy Ross Davis and a show she was on the other day. And the other one is the show we're talking, or actually talking right now. You can actually click on the widget on the sidebar there and listen to us live. If you want to check out any of the stories on the in the archives, feel free to click on them. There's also some author blogs there for folks to check out and take a look at, which is pretty cool. It's always nice to visit author blogs and see what they have going on. And what they like to discuss, whether they're doing book reviews, things like that. I think it's always a ton of fun. Okay, so it's about 8:07. You are listening to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. We're hosting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party right now. Larry Peterson is going to join us in a little bit. We were just talking about Joy Ross Davis being on a show a little bit earlier on the week, and you can either find that by going right here to Blog Talk Radio, put an Inspirational Talk Radio Network and find the show. You can find it on Twitter, on our Twitter page for Helping Hands Press, also on the Facebook page, and you can find it on the Helping Hands Press blog. You can either find the blog post or just click right on the widget on the sidebar. Now, coming up is the reading sample for Flora with Love and Obsession. And this is the second of three. It's going to be a trilogy series. This is an inspirational romance. It is historical, suspense. Has a lot of different elements in it. And it's Flora is she's a lot of fun. Hoping to have her on the show sometime soon. And hopefully we'll get to talk not just about Love and Obsession, but her other works. And if I can get to Amazon on that, I will tell you what they are. The other novel in the series is Love's Sweetest Revenge. And she has a devotional, which is titled Where Your Heart Meets God's. Now, let's see. Flora has some reviews up for Love's Sweetest Revenge. Scrolling down, folks. She has 7 5-star reviews. One of them says, I chose Love's Sweetest Revenge because it takes place in St. Augustine, my adopted hometown. I was immediately drawn in by the characters. Another one, headline is, Fun and Heartwarming Story with a Little Mystery. What a pleasant, fun, and heartwarming story with a little mystery and great atmosphere. I love reading this book about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Another one says, Page Turner. I was steered to this book by a friend. From the first page, I was immediately hooked. The further into the book I got, the more I couldn't put it down until I had read the entire thing. Best book I've read in a long time. This is from Nancy, who got it on paperback. I couldn't put this book down. The author has done a remarkable job with the storyline and the characters, and so real that I found myself thinking of them as real people that I know. This is an exciting read and has me wanting more. Perhaps a second book to continue the story is something this author will think about. Well, she has, and that will be out soon. There is no delivery date as of yet, but that is something that Flora is working on at present. Feels sure at. It's 8:10. You're listening to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. We're hosting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, please join us. If you're listening to this on the archives, the next time we will be having hosting a Thursday Night Party for Helping Hands Press will be July 14th and July 28th in July, and in August 11th and 25th. So if you are available those dates, you want to participate live here on Facebook and Twitter, please, they'd love to have you. So here we are. Okay, the post for Love and Obsessions is up right now, and Flora would love it. Excuse me, sorry about that. Flora would love it if you guys would, any of the listeners, if you want to click on the post here, or if you're on Facebook or Twitter, and you want to tell Flora which cover you like the best. Right now it's kind of running neck and neck. There is the cover with the black and white cover with the bride and groom's feet, and the other one with the lace. And folks are kind of going both ways here. There hasn't been a definitive Sorry about the sound problem. There hasn't been a definitive up or down yet. I see it's a problem. Every time I go to the Helping Hands Press blog, I get a lot of feedback. Okay, problem solved. Okay, so that's Flores. If anybody is out there tonight, wants to make a comment, not only, and also she would like if you would read the beginning of the story and tell her what you think. If you do want to go to the Helping Hands Press blog, if you're on a Facebook page or if you're on Twitter, you can just click right on the link. It'll take you right there. Okay, I'll show you right. Yes, E15 is, we're not quite there yet, but that is what's coming up with Murray Pure. Mother, can you hear me? We were talking about this the other day with Joy Ross Davis. I just want to tell you some of the titles Joy has. Now, if you go to her Amazon author page, I don't know if all of Joy's titles are here. Mother, can you hear me? The Sister Divided series, Emmeline's Treasure. I know that is a book that's very close to her heart. She has 19 reviews on that. The Settler of Petersburg, really nice story. Countenance is one of her favorite shows. Goes back to Countenance. The Transformation of Biddy Brown. Olivia's Wedding. She has quite a few titles. That are hers. I want to talk about Murray's because pretty soon Larry's going to be joining us in the studio. And I want to make sure we spend plenty of time with Larry and talk about his novels. The Priest and the Peaches, one of the notes I have on that is the person that edited it not only loved it, but cried and couldn't get enough of it. So it's something I want to make sure that we spend plenty of time on. I'm typing for Murray Pure right now. I'm putting in a Declaration of Independence series with Murray's name, P-U-R-A. And volume one is Thomas Jefferson. All right. Pretty cool thing, Murray's got some recipes in here, too. Okay, we hold these truths. This is a little synopsis of Murray Pure's from the Declaration of Independence series, Volume 1, Thomas Jefferson. We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable, that all men are created equal and independent, that from that equal creation they derive rights inherited and inalienable, among which are the preservation of life and liberty and a pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson turned over in his sleep. That document, they tore what I wrote apart. I must talk to Ben Franklin and John Adams. They have to persuade Continental Congress to restore my original wording before the delegates sign it. And so the saga begins. The Declaration of Independence series brings to life the crafting and signing of the world's famous document as they told through the eyes of Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Hancock, and Francis Lewis. Best-selling author Murray Pure also includes recipes for Colonial Braised Rabbit with Volume 1 Thomas Jefferson. Fast fact, there is something written on the back of the Declaration of Independence. There's a simple message written upside down and across the bottom of the signed document. Original Declaration of the Independence dated 4th July 1776. No one knows who exactly wrote this or when, but during the Revolutionary War years, the parchment was frequently rolled up for transport. It's thought that the text was added as a label. That's if you're on Amazon, if you go on Barnes & Noble, Kobo, you can get Murray Pure's story, The Declaration of Independence, Volume 1, Thomas Jefferson. Now, you're listening to Inspirational Talk Show, the Talk Radio Network. I want to try to just talk real quick about, as soon as I can find it, I'm looking for Joseph Max Lewis's story in the same series, and he wrote John Hancock, and his synopsis is a bit of a challenge. Would you have signed? The Declaration of Independence series asks all of us that one soul-searching question. If you were rich, if signing meant defying the world's superpower, if failure meant your family would be left destitute and you would be hung by the neck with your hands tied behind your back until you strangled to death, would you have signed the Declaration of Independence? Would you have risked your privileged life so that others might live in freedom? That was the question facing John Hancock. In the face of overwhelming odds, he answered, yes. We must all hang together, Hancock said, before almost choking on his disastrous choice of words. Men's faces clouded. They realized they stood on the brink, but could still step back, as had so often been the case. It was Benjamin Franklin who saved them, who saved us all. Yes, we must indeed all hang together, Franklin replied in an equally loud voice. He took a moment to push his spectacles up to his nose, or most assuredly we shall hang separately. The hall burst into surprised laughter. Men now smiled, grimly perhaps, but they lined up and took their turn, signing the most important document in the history of the world. Only Franklin, Hancock thought to himself. John Hancock, Franklin, Jefferson, and the other founders. One of the most momentous days in human history, July 4th, 1776. Now, you can just put Joseph Max Lewis into the search bar on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Kobo, and grab the title. It's 99 cents. Very nice short story. Packed. It's a lot of punch. And, yeah, I am a big fan of JML. So, you know, whether it's this short story, The Diaries of Pontius Pilate, Separation of Church and State, Baghdad Burning, any of those, I love them all. So please feel free to check them out. What I'm going to do is see if Larry's still hanging around. Larry Peterson, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, Larry. How you doing? Thank you for coming in with us today. This is Larry Peterson, everybody, author of The Demons of Abaddon and The Priest and the Peaches. You're on the Inspirational Talk Show Radio Network right now. We are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. We are live on not just Blog Talk Radio, but Facebook and Twitter. Larry, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jay. And just to mention as we go in, you mentioned Alzheimer's Month, Awareness Month, and my wife does have that. And it's an interesting ride, and I would like people to know that there are 150 kinds of dementia besides Alzheimer's. You know, so there are many different kinds of dementia that people have. Just football players, for example, you know, from being hit in the head so many times. So there are many different kinds, but the Alzheimer's is the main one, and it's turning epidemic apparently. I just thought I'd share that, and I'm a full-time caregiver with that too, so I understand.
It's a tough journey.
You know? Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's every day is totally unpredictable. And that's a fact, because it's all convoluted. Nothing really makes sense. And, you know, to live in that world sometimes gets very difficult. But you do the best you can with what you have, and that's all. Trust in God and do your best.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Moving on to the books.
Yeah, the Priest and the Peaches, you have 51 customer reviews, which is pretty incredible. Just about the 80, Amazon has it at 88% for 4- and 5-star reviews. And some of the quick ones on the side. They say simply wonderful. Peterson has created a captivating novel that stars a large cast of unique characters who keep you enticed and make you want to set your e-reader, you not want to set your e-reader down. Another one, I absolutely love this book. I'm not generally a fan of YA books, unless we're speaking of The Hunger Games, but this one is unbelievable, and the theme of the story is quite amazing. Let's see. When reading this title for this novel, you think it's flooded with religious jibber-jabber, but it's really a pretty minute amount. It doesn't overflow, but it's a good amount. You seem to have really hit the mark here with The Priest and the Peaches. This is based on a true story. Can you tell us what prompted you to handle?
Well, it is based on a true story. It's fictionalized, but it's about us. It's about me and my brothers and sister, basically. But then because we did lose our parents when we were young, and so it's kind of based on that. And we did have a wacky existence growing up, but it was fictionalized, and I didn't really plan to write this book, but when my younger brother Bobby passed away suddenly about 9 years ago, 2007, and up at the funeral in New York, we were all hanging around and talking and reminiscing about the old days, and there were so many different things that were brought up, and it just started clicking in my mind, and I made mental notes of it all, and along came the book about a year or so later, and that's how it happened, you know. But I was a little shocked at some of the nice response I got from this book. In fact, I consider this Catholic fiction. It's about a Catholic family. It's not a religious book at all, but it's about Catholics, and it's about the Mass, and it's about there's prayers in there and things like that. And I did bring, and I happen to be a Eucharistic minister. If you're Catholic, you know what that is. If you're not, I bring communion on Sundays to homebound people. And one guy I was bringing communion to, he's 93 years old, and he was a former Marist brother, and he's from New York. And we were talking, and he's been all over the world. And I gave him, I told him about the book, and he asked me if I could have it. And I gave him a copy, and I saw him Sunday, and he loved the book too. He said, this made me laugh and cry, and I was really moved, you know. I mean, he wasn't kidding. So I don't know. I think the older people, it was classified YA, but I think the older folks like it because it takes place in the 60s. And a lot of people, the older folks, relate to a lot of that. So I don't know how genre is picked. I never would have assumed. I just thought it was an adult-type novel, you know, for anybody. But it's classified as YA, and because it's about teenagers and younger kids, but the older folks seem to like it a lot too. So, go figure, right?
How many? Just going back to that One review. How many characters do you have rolling in this? Is it that big of a cast?
Well, there's five kids and six. I'm trying to think of primary characters that are in. Say about 10.
Wow.
You know,
was that a lot to juggle when you were writing it?
No, I never thought about that. No, but it wasn't. The extended characters, maybe, but there were the five kids. There's Pops. There was upstairs. Say about 10 people. Yeah, but it wasn't hard to interact them at all and let them interact with each other. And then there was the antagonist, Beatrice, and the priest. 10, 11 people. But it was easy to understand, I believe. I mean, and it was easy to work within that, you know. The main character, Teddy, had maybe a couple of chapters where he was operating a lot on his own, doing things to take care of business, so to speak. So, but we go through the funeral, their father's funeral and everything, and there was a lot of people involved in that, but... actually, answer your question, no, it wasn't that hard to do. People like the characters,
nice.
Though, too. The kids, the one kid is only, Joey's only six, and Beaker's only 10. So, and then Teddy was 18, and Joni was 17, and Dancer was 14. So it was an interesting dynamic with the age groups, and like the Dancer and Teddy. Dancer didn't want anybody telling him what to do. He was 14. And he was not going to be told by his bigger brother what to do and when to come home and all this other kind of stuff. So they had a little friction going on between them, things like that, you know. But they had no money, and they found out when their father died, they found out the rent was past due and the electric got turned off, and they were dealing with facing all this, and it was like a bit overwhelming. And they pulled it all together and were able to handle things. So, and it wasn't far-fetched, you know. It's like I said, it was based on a true story. So, and...
Nice.
And it ends, I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but it kind of just leads on to more. And that's how the Demons of Abaddon came about. That's a sequel. And demons can even lead to more. And I have more in my head, but I haven't put it on paper yet. But,
okay, you're getting ahead of me there, mentioning the Demons of Abaddon. I'm not going to club you, but that's okay. You're listening to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Our guest tonight is Larry Peterson, as we are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. If you're on Facebook right now, if you're listening live or on Twitter, please join in. What just went on as Larry was talking about The Priest and the Peaches? There's a cover comparison for William David Spencer's Wrestling Two Worlds. Very interesting melding for a YA inspirational story. Please vote on which cover you would like more. And if you're on the Helping Hands Press blog, make a comment at the bottom of any of the blog posts or use the contact form. Because coming up, we have Patty J. Smith's Grave Obsessions Series 2, Precious Garden. There's going to be a reading sample for that. And there's going to be a lot more going on this evening. Let's get back with Larry. Larry, you just mentioned the Demons of Abaddon, and I just want to tell the folks at home, both the Demons of Abaddon and the Priest and the Peaches is a Kindle Unlimited title. If you are a Kindle Unlimited member, you can read these for free. They're very worthy.
Such a deal, huh?
These are some... Your two different stories, these two different novels, The Demons of Abaddon and The Priest and the Peaches, I mean, to me, they seem at pretty opposite ends of the spectrum. The Demons of Abaddon, you have melded in there a lot of paranormal elements in that, which is a little bit different than what you were doing before, because this is totally fictitious. This is nothing based in truth. Is that correct?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Demons
took. Well, I ended the first book. Joey mentions that he's been seeing Pops. You know, after his father died, and that's how I'm able to lead in. I take that, and I use that as my lead in with the Demons of Abaddon, And then the kids go. They have a priest in the parish, Father Sullivan, Timmy Sullivan, and he's an interesting character himself. He's a former Golden Gloves boxer, and he was raised in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, and he's really very streetwise, but he's really a good priest, and he looks out for the kids after their dad passes away. But he has friends who live out in Jersey, up in the Abaddon Forest, and they have a big house up there. They have no kids, and they're willing to take the youngest ones, Joey and Beaker, for the summer. And they get up there, and there's a strange boy they meet up there. And anyway, strange things begin to happen, and it leads off into the forest. There's a demonic infestation in the Abaddon Forest, and it leads to quite the adventure with the kids and all. And it gets a little serious and a little scary, actually. Because I do deal with Catholic exorcisms and that kind of thing in there, and I've researched quite a bit about that before I wrote it, and I think it's a pretty good story, but it does take a different slant than the first one, for sure. And it leaves me open.
Interesting.
For
more. Now, when you mentioned that in the synopsis here, when Pops died, they were officially orphaned, and Teddy 18 took over as head of the family. Do you touch on anything that has to do with, like, timing out of the system or anything like that, as far as foster care or orphans go, or is that just part of the story? Do you go into that in any depth?
With foster care? And what do you mean?
Yeah, yes. Sue Badeau, she's one of the authors in the Helping Hands Press community. She has a great deal to do with foster care and things like that.
Oh, well,
none
of the kids ever wanted foster care or anything like that. None of the kids ever wanted
to
foster care or anything like that. So that was never part of it. They all hung together. They stayed together as a family, amazingly. And
what is in the darkness in the woods?
What is what?
His world is surrounded by darkness and evil. Well, what is the darkness that lurks in the woods?
Jacob,
is that something that you get to?
Jacob Lightfoot, he's the boy in the Demons of Abaddon, and he happens to see. He lives in the woods somewhere. Nobody knows where. He's a kid about 10 years old, and he happens to see Joey and Beaker when they arrive at the Charlie and Eleanor Winter's house, and he goes and knocks on the door. And he wants to be their friend. He's never had a friend, and that's how they meet, and that's how they get involved with each other. But he's darkness and that kind of thing have a deep interest in Jacob Lightfoot, and so he's kind of the main character, and that's why the demons are there. They want the boy. I don't want to give away the whole story, but anyway, that's it leads to quite a bit, actually. He's had a very, very, very bad life, the child. You know, his mother died when he was little, and his father's not a very nice person, and etc. And we move on, and it gets worse and worse. But ultimately, good conquers evil. I'll give you that.
That's pretty nice. You have a bunch of 5-star reviews. Daniel Peterson, he wrote the headlines. It's cast in a form reminiscent of The Exorcist, but unlike that book, Demons has a huge and enchanted and demonic landscape. The Demons of Abaddon by Larry Peterson is a thriller just aching to be made into a Hollywood movie. It's cast in a form reminiscent of The Exorcist, but unlike the book, Demons has a huge and enchanted and demonic landscape filled with unforgettable characters, some of whom you will love and others who will make your skin crawl. This is an unforgettable read that sticks to your bones. Buy it, you will not regret it. Verified purchase of paperback. Oh, very nice. 5 stars for The Virtues Within from Elizabeth. Wow. Some scary and thought-provoking stuff in the story of the battle between dark and light here on the earth. Admittedly, it was a little dark and a little scary for me at times, but I may very well be the exception and not the rule. As a Catholic parent, if my teen young adult was reading worldly books, this book might just be the one they should pick up. Not only would it keep their attention, but it would teach them about the real forces of evil and how to avoid and conquer them. through the teachings and livings out of their faith and the graces available to them. The book clearly depicts the concept that good conquers evil in the story, but because of the content about demons, I would recommend reading the book first or with your teen before sharing it in order to assess its potential impact so as to be there and prepared to answer questions or concerns. Kudos to the author for shedding light on the many times ignored and denied presence of evil in our world. Now, as an author, you read something like this that someone wrote about your work.
I can't believe it.
You get
like,
jazzed
oh my God,
about that, or
about
what?
Me? You're talking about me. I wrote that. You think the work is that good? You know, and I look at it, and it's kind of humbling because they're talking about what I did, and apparently that's coming from the heart. You know, when you read it, you know they're not making it up or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. Now, would you say that the Demons of Abaddon is a bit of a spiritual warfare type of work for young adults?
Yeah. That's why I think it'd be good for them.
And how did you decide where the line was drawn between good and evil? Did you have either one of them blur the line, or is there a really unique, clear delineation between the two?
The delineation between the good and evil.
Yeah, did you blur the lines at all, or did you just come down with an axe and this side is good, that side is bad?
No, it was good and bad. There was no doubts who was who. Is that what you're asking me?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when you were putting together your characterization for good and evil, you take in your Catholicism, were you anywhere waffling in the middle, or was everything pretty clear and pretty well
concise? It was pretty clear. And then it just happened to be this area in the forest, in the Abaddon forest, had been vacant forest land for centuries. And the demons have had their existence in this particular place. And then this family, those Charlie and Eleanor Winters, found this old Victorian house nearby, and they bought it, and it was empty, and they remodeled. They moved in, and then the kids came in there. So it was the first time any interlopers had come into the demons' area, and they didn't like it. And, they tried to start harassing them to get them to move. And then the priests got involved and things got involved and the kids were involved and it just developed that way. But there was never any blurred lines about good and evil. We know who was good and we know who was not good. And the clash between them had to come to a point. And that's what it builds up to. And then there's a battle royal between good and evil. And it's an interesting road. And to get on and to experience, and it kind of developed as I wrote it. So I recommend it for everybody.
That's cool. Now, how do you plan to follow any of this work up with any sequel?
I want to. Yes, I want to, but there's just so many hours in a day, you know. And it's just with the way things are here, sometimes it's just not very easy to focus for long periods and other things I got to do. Because, there's only take care of all the other stuff around here, too. So I have a book in my head that would follow this one. But I just have to get to it. Plus, I'm doing blogging and writing columns. I write, I've been doing work, articles for Alicia.org, Alicia Magazine, which is a worldwide Catholic magazine, and that's been going okay. And so trying to do that in my own blogging and then the books, it's, you do the best you can, right? So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to read two more of these reviews and then ask you another question.
Okay. Sure.
Vicky, who had got a paperback purchase, she says, leave the light on when you go to sleep. The Demons of Abaddon is a real page turner that I simply cannot put down. Besides the suspense-filled plot, the underlying battle between good and evil draws to a spectacularly satisfying conclusion. I highly recommend Larry Peterson's book to anyone interested in a good read. Here's one of the other ones. This is a 5-star review. Larry Peterson captures the reader's attention with the first sentence in this book. It's very well written and holds your attention throughout. I commend the author on his vivid imagination, as I believe the darkened and the ergot to be followers of Satan. This story demonstrates that true faith can pull one through the most harrowing circumstances. Truly frightening scenarios are within the pages of Demons of Abaddon. I would recommend reading the prequel, The Peaches, Priest and the Peaches, as it provides the reader with more background on the main characters. Worth taking the time to read. Glory. Now, when you mentioned throughout your bio and other stuff, yeah, these people said some really nice words about you. You mentioned that you're a Catholic.
Yes.
In the Christian world, do you think that as far as writers go, authors go, and how you're accepted, do you find that is you find acceptance from other folks with that, or do you find that some maybe have some defined beliefs to be a little too different for that to, and do you find that to be a help or hindrance?
I have gotten a few reviews, I think, with The Priest and the Peaches that kind of weren't too happy about the Catholic end, but it wasn't anything nasty. However, I did get a review from somebody in England, and they said they were agnostic, and they never read anything about religion or anything like that, but they read that book, and they were really glad they did, because religion didn't sound bad, and they actually kind of liked it, and they were going to look into it. So that was pretty cool when I read that. So the point of it is, the book is not really religious. It's not really I call it Catholic fiction because it's about Catholic people, and but it's a story about people more than it is about the religion. You know, the religion is there.
Well, it's
part of their lives, but it isn't a religious book. Either of them.
Right, but it's part and parcel of who you are, and you've brought that to the table. It is part of your core belief. That comes out.
There you go. Right. But okay. I mean, I figure I'm a regular schmo, and I can deal with most anybody. I don't care what religion or not religion they are, and maybe it comes across that way, because I don't think it offends anyone. It's a good read, I think. You know, but
have you found in doing any of your editing that you maybe crossed a line, or you're approaching a line which you found that it was too much, especially in The Demons of Abaddon?
Too much religion?
Too much maybe being up on a soapbox or something like that. I mean, it's
never preachy. I make a point of not being preachy. I'm not preachy, you know, and the books are not preachy at all. The priest is he's a primary character. He isn't even preachy. You know, he teaches them for example, in The Priest and the Peaches, they're worried about committing a sin. And the priest says to them, what do you think, God's up there looking to smack you upside the head every time you do something wrong? God loves you. He loves you more than your own father loved you. So stop worrying so much. That kind of thing. That's an example of, that's as much preachiness as you're going to get. You know? So that's, I tried to do that so it would appeal to everyone. But I stay true to my core beliefs.
Very nice.
So. I tried.
I think you succeeded because these reviews are amazing and pretty intense. They are, props. I think you hit the nail on the head. These folks seem to have enjoyed what you have going on.
Well, we'll see how it goes as time goes by, right?
It's very gratifying.
Enjoyed it, and most everybody who's read it has enjoyed it. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
So in between all the stuff that you do, between being an author and a caregiver, you find any time to chill out and relax at all?
Not much. Not much, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm actually what I do. I usually get up by 4:30, 20 to 5, and I go walk for maybe an hour in the darkness of the early morning. I'm down here in Florida, you know, and it's quite beautiful. And where I live it's nice, and you can do that. There's no 14-foot gators crossing the road. I don't have to worry about that yet, anyway. But anyway, but that if I'm going to grab some time, that's when I do it. And for me, you know, and but that's about it. But it's okay. I'm good.
I hear you. Well, I want to thank you for being on with me tonight. It's been a true pleasure.
I enjoyed it.
And I enjoyed it. I hope that anybody who sees the link for this on Facebook or Twitter is nice enough to share it so that folks can spread the word about what's going on in your stories, because they are wonderful. And I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. Everybody,
is Blog Talk Radio link on here?
I'm sorry?
Is the Blog Talk Radio link on Facebook?
Yeah, this is the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Everybody, you've been listening to Larry Peterson.
Yeah.
He's Larry's the author of The Demons of Abaddon.
Radio.
And The Priest and the Peaches. You can listen to Blog Talk Radio and anything that has an internet link. So you can listen to it on a tablet, phone, anything, any place where the internet is.
You know, I'm still working
cool.
on a desktop. Still working on a desktop. I gotta get me a tablet, or a what do you call it? Notebook. One of these days. But
there's all sorts
still
of
old fashioned
things.
Tablets,
phablets, smartphones. Yeah. I've seen people use phablets, and I got to chuckle because those things are awful large up against somebody's head when they're talking on the phone.
I know.
Phablets.
I got a son who uses his smartphone for his computer. So go figure that one. And now he can stand looking at that little screen. But
I hear you.
Whatever floats your boat, right?
That's very true.
Anyway.
Very true. Thank you for being on the show, Larry. We hope to have you on again. And,
my pleasure. Okay.
I hope you have a great evening and a wonderful weekend.
Thanks. Take care. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye. Everybody, Larry Peterson, author of The Demons of Abaddon and The Priest and the Peaches. Right now, both of them are Kindle Unlimited titles. So if you are a Kindle Unlimited member, please pick them up, give them a read, enjoy them as many others have. What we've missed as the evening has been going on, as we've been talking to Larry, let's just give us a quick recap as we're on the other side of things. Right now, there is a post up for Remembering for Ruth by Sheila Sala LeGrand, and there's two blog posts up on the Helping Hands Press blog. One of them is written by Sheila, The Truth in Fiction is an Alzheimer Awareness Month Reflection by Sheila Sala LeGrand, PhD. And the other is, which someone put up here, is about her series Remembering for Ruth, which deals with Alzheimer's disease. That's a very touching, heartfelt series. You can hear the first story in the series, which I don't know the title written down here for. I think Paula Snickersdoodles is a Kindle Unlimited deal too. You can get that right from Amazon Kindle if you're a Kindle Unlimited member, and give the series a try. Let's try to recap the evening. We started off the evening here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network as we were simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party with the opening prayer that Patty J. Smith was nice enough to provide. Connected in with Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, if you are wearing your purple this month. We talked about Joy Ross Davis and her blog talk appearance the other day, which is really cool. Joy was a really nice guest, and we talked about her time in Ireland as well as speaking engagement she has coming up. She's going to be teaching a couple classes at a writer's convention, and we talked about her titles. And one of them is the Firelight Angels. That's one of the ones that I didn't mention earlier. There is a reading sample as well as the covers for Flora Regatta's Love and Obsession. We're just about at 50-50 here on the black and white versus the color covers. So if you could weigh in either on Facebook or Twitter or on the blog as to which one you prefer, that would be cool. Flora would appreciate your input, as well as if you're kind enough to read her reading sample. If you could leave a comment on the blog or use the contact form on the sidebar of the Helping Hands Press blog. Flora would like to know what you think of her writing and the story. Any input you could give, she would certainly enjoy. Next up is Murray Pure with the Declaration of Independence series. Volume 1 is Thomas Jefferson and others in the series, Joseph Max Lewis. There will be a post on the Helping Hands Press blog about that. With his new cover comparison for William David Spencer, Wrestling Two Worlds, melds, it's a young adult inspirational story, and it has to do with wrestling and also the Dominican Republic. It's a pretty interesting concept, and Dr. Spencer knows a lot about both, so it's really a nice project. Hopefully, Dr. Spencer will be on here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network sometime in the near future. He's always very engaging. The next post was for Larry Peterson here with us, and that was a joy having Larry here. You know, his work is incredible. So if you do enjoy young adult, or just if you enjoy good writing, please pick up The Priests and the Peaches or The Demons of Abaddon. They are Kindle Unlimited deals right now. Reading sample for Patty J. Smith, her series 2 of the Grave Obsession series, volume 1, Precious Garden. If you give it a read, please leave Patty a little comment about what she is about what she has going on there now. A lot of folks know Patty for her work, especially with devotionals. But this is a crime suspense thriller, has a female detective in it, just be forewarned. It is not devotional. It's a fictional work, and it's pretty intense. See, we're up to Ann Baxter Campbell's Once Upon series, Volume 3, A Parade of Freedom. If you're looking for a really neat July 4th reads, Ann Baxter Campbell, very nice story, set in a small town. And if you've read any of Ann Baxter Campbell's work, you know, spot on. There's a giveaway going on for the next, until we host the next show on July 14th for Joseph Max Lewis's Diaries of Pontius Pilate. You can just go right to the blog post and sign up for that. And that got us to our next two here. One is we're talking about Sheila Silo LeGrand's Remembering for Ruth. And also the post just popped up a little bit ago for Suba Doe's blog post, Art Draws Our Family Closer. This is about her coloring book, Building Bridges of Hope, which she put together with her daughter Chelsea. Chelsea did a lot of the drawings in the book, including the cover. And she's really touching a lot of lives with this. If you know anyone that has anything to do with child trauma, adoption, foster care, whether it's an adult or a child, this is something that you should have your hands on, because it's wonderful, wonderful work. Closing out the evening, a new post that's going to pop up in about a minute is from Karen Lang, who is the author of Homeschool Co-ops 101. And Write for Life. Really nice blog post. Currently, Karen has two that just popped up in the last 48 hours, and will be featured over the next week on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other social media that Helping Hands Press is on. Give it a read. I think it has to do with an interview. Just trying to get ahead of ourselves a little bit. Our next broadcast for Helping Hands Press here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network, it's going to be on July 14th. Now we're going to do another show on July on the 28th. And just to go over again, in August, we're going to be on August 11th and 25th. Patty J. Smith is going to be right here in the studio with us as we simulcast Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party on July 14th. We'll have a reading sample from William David Spencer for Writing Two Worlds. Also, we'll be talking about Tony Helling's Volume 7 and The Voice of A.J. Stamen, the paperback for Ann Baxter Campbell's Once Upon series. There may be a pre-sale starting for the Posse Volume 2, Walking Dead. There'll be a bunch of other blog posts from the authors of the Helping Hands Press community. There will be some other cover comparisons, and there's going to be other neat things. I mean, it's usually 1 hour that's extremely power-packed here when we do the Thursday Night Party for Helping Hands Press. If you missed a broadcast or you're coming in late, you can always go to the Helping Hands Press blog, which you can get the link for right on the left sidebar of the Facebook page or on the Twitter page for Helping Hands Press. You can get it off of the website also. Just click and go, and there is a widget on the sidebar for this show. And also for Joy Ross Davis' show, if you want to listen to that. And you just tune in, check it out. And especially if you want to listen to Larry Peterson, catch it at about the 15 to 20 minute mark. I think Larry came in around the 20 minute mark on the hour. So you can check that out. So I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. It's been truly a pleasure. I want to thank you for listening to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network and helping spread the word about the Helping Hands Press author community. And if you join us again on their Thursday night party, July 14th, please have your Facebook and your Twitter open and be part of the conversation. I hope everybody has a great evening. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.